Extend Christian greetings to each one gathered in this assembly this morning. So I was driving here and just saw the beauty of creation, the greenery, and just a little soybeans popping up and said, beautiful green, beautiful green. And this looks so pleasant, so wonderful, how God created this world. And so even a greater beauty is this assembly, where God's people gather together to worship Him. That's even more beautiful than God's creation, I believe. And God is humbled as He looks down from heaven and He sees His creation. I marvel at that. We need to say it's so beautiful, so wonderful. But God, when He looks at us, says, oh, I'm humbled. Because what's so great in the third heaven is so much higher than what's on earth. I think that's why He's humbled as He looks here. Certainly been blessed already this morning as I've heard the devotions in the Sunday school lesson already, in devotional. I've been blessed already. And we could go home and be blessed, I believe, if we didn't have a message. But God has called me for that. I believe He'll give me strength to perform today. As He is called, we can claim His promise, and He will help us. Thank you for your prayers, too. Keep praying as we share the word. Yes, happy Father's Day to you fathers this morning. Started yesterday for me. Some of my children gave me some greetings of Father's Day. And this morning, on my smartphone, on my WhatsApp, I'm not very techy. I left it run out, so I didn't come through. My wife said, hey, the children are saying happy Father's Day to you. And so I said, well, no, text them back and tell them it's a good role to be in. And I testify that. To be a father is a wonderful role to be in. It's great. It's a great work. It's a hard work. And there's mountains to face. But it's a good role. I'm glad God gave my wife and I 8 children. And I have 2 grandchildren. And as I look back through that, this time went so, so fast. And some of you are older than I am here. And you can testify of the same, of your years going so fast. So this morning, I would like to bring a Father's Day message. I remember some of us brethren talking in our area, and they said, we know when the preacher preaches to the mothers, they go real soft and, you know, really build them up, you know, because, you know, and we said, I guess because mothers are more tender, we don't want to be too hard on them. But when it's a Father's Day message, oh, they just get pounded, you know. They really get hammered down. And so this morning, I want to try to give a balance if I can. I will pound us fathers a little bit, but I'll try to give some encouragement along with it to try to balance it out. So Lord willing, we'll try to cover it in that aspect. The message title this morning I like to have is Caleb, give me this mountain. Caleb, comma or dash, give me this mountain. It inspires my heart as a father, and I want to inspire your hearts as fathers here this morning. Other men of the Bible have spoken deeply spiritual words like Caleb. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Famous words, deeply spiritual words. Maybe you have that motto hanging on your wall in your house. Tremendous motto to go by, live by. Moses said unto the Lord, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. Again, deeply spiritual words. And I call them famous words because they stand out as a man with tremendous heart and compassion for his people. Moses, that man of God, the meek man, says, blot me, Lord, out of thy book so that these people, these Israelites, will be part of heaven. And God says, no, he said, whoever have sinned against me, them I will blot out of my book. Another biblical man I want to mention his words. Abraham said to Isaac, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. My son, God will provide himself a lamb. You think about when God called him to go to Mount Moriah and to offer his only son, Isaac. This was before he was on the altar and before the angel said, Abraham, Abraham. This was before these words were. It says, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. And sure enough, the faith of Abraham saw him through. The angel spoke, says, stop, Abraham, don't slay your son. Now I know, God knows, that you aren't going to withhold your only son from me. And then he looked behind or to the side, whichever it was. There was the ram caught in the thicket. Here was the provision for the sacrifice. Tremendous, famous words of biblical men. Famous and deeply spiritual. But I want to look at a famous man and a deeply spiritual saying he said, and that was Caleb. Give me this mountain. Turn with me, if you please, to with Joshua chapter 14. I'd like to read verses 5 to 15. Joshua 14, verse 5 to 15. Verse 5, chapter 14 of Joshua. As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I was brought him, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in the day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Here we have a wonderful passage about Caleb, the man that said those famous words, give me this mountain. I have four main points I'd like to share and branch out from. First one, the God of Caleb. Secondly, Christian fathers experience God's blessings. Thirdly, give me this mountain. And fourthly, Caleb possessed his inheritance. First main point, the God of Caleb. Caleb's testimony of his own life. And it almost sounds like he's bragging, doesn't it? But we know he wasn't bragging. To live a faithful life that long, it'd be 85. And generally we give older people a little grace, don't we? A little older, they can talk about their past experiences and so on. I'm probably in the middle zone somewhere there. Maybe I'd give a few personal experiences, but largely I wait maybe until I'm a little older, so it's more accepted. But Caleb here says, I have wholly followed the Lord. I have wholly followed the Lord. And he says, I'm 85 years old. I am as strong now as I was when I gave the report of the land of Canaan to Moses. I'm strong as now. And that sounds like, us men, that sounds like a brag story, doesn't it? No, Caleb wasn't bragging. All Caleb was doing was giving a testimony of God's faithfulness to him in the past. And here he was. He could say, give me this mountain. Caleb's worship, I believe, was key to why he wholly followed the Lord. I don't know how it was for an Old Testament saint, how they did that. They didn't have the Word of God like you and I have here this morning, holding in our hands. Maybe he looked into Moses' law daily. Somehow, he daily had a communication with God. He had a vibrant worship experience. Caleb's worship, yes, he only worshiped the one true God. His worship was sweet, vibrant, clear, and solid. Fathers, this morning, the Scripture says to us, If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. seek those things which are above. I'll give some more practical thoughts on that a little bit later. Fathers, follow God with all your soul, mind, and strength. Now, this side of the house, you know, we enjoy strength. And sometimes, this, I don't do a lot with my sons, but sometimes my sons do it with other young men. They do arm wrestling or just regular wrestling on the floor and so on. Now, strength means a lot to us. But the strength of our hearts, the strength of our soul, the spiritual strength of the inner man is what this is talking about. Not physical strength, but real strength. Fathers, follow God. Be strong spiritually for yourself, for your wife, for your family. Be strong. It's very, very important. Fathers, our choice of who or what we worship is very, very influential. Note, I said who or what we worship. We can worship the one true God like Caleb did with all heart, soul, mind, and strength, or we can worship something else, less than God. The song, Somebody Follows You, is true, fathers. Somebody follows my footprints, as it were, in the snow. And yours, fathers. Someone is following you. Where you're heading, father, is that where you want your sons to be? Where you're heading, fathers? Do you want your daughters to follow you? Do you want your wife to follow you? Do you want the generations, your grandchildren, to follow you in the path that you're leading? Do you want them to follow you? They are following you. They have their fathers and so on, as far as grandchildren, to follow. But we need to give a spiritual influence to those that follow us. Who you worship is who your wife will worship, generally speaking. Who you worship, father, is who your son will worship. Who you worship, father, is who your daughter worships. That's generally speaking. Sure, we know that some fathers serve the flesh and Satan in the world, and then they have some come out of their families and serve God. Praise the Lord. That happens sometimes from maybe the mother's influence, or maybe grandfather's influence, or some other person's influence. But so often, if father is not what he should be, the family follows in that footprint, in his footprints, and they lose out. Sad is the case where father worships the things of this world rather than, like Caleb, wholly following the Lord with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Some challenges, fathers. Father, do you love your money? Could your children say, father loves his money? Fathers, this morning, do you love your possessions? Would your children say to you or to among themselves, father loves his possessions? Fathers, do you love your position, wherever it is in the community, as a wealthy man or in the church, whatever your role is? Fathers, do you love your position? Would your children say, dad loves his position? And he loves it so much that he neglects us. Fathers, do you love your popularity? Whatever popularity you have, maybe it's not much, but the little that you have. Maybe you have a lot. Whatever it is, do you love your popularity? Would your children say to themselves or to others that dad loves his popularity? And these are things that sometimes takes the heart of the father away from the children. The children want your heart, fathers. Your wife wants your heart. And if you're a leader in the church, your church wants your heart. Father, do you love the world? Do you love the world or do you love God with all your heart? Generally, worldly-minded fathers produce worldly-minded children or households. Scripture says, for to be carnally-minded is death, but to be spiritually-minded is life and peace. Romans 8:6. Here we have life and death before us, clear and distinct. We're going to be carnally minded, live after our flesh, there's death. But if we're going to be spiritually minded, have that spiritual man renewed day by day, and then we'll have life and peace. Don't we want that for our households? Life and peace. Yes. Yes, we do. Love not the world is Jesus' plea. When the heart of the people around us melt, will we stand like Caleb and Joshua? Think of all the children of Israel, all around them, and these spies coming back. And the spies, the bulk of the spies says,
There were giants in the land. We can't go up. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. And we felt like grasshoppers. We can't go up. But here, Caleb and Joshua stood strong. And he says, yes, we can go up. We can conquer this land. But the other spies swayed the whole congregation and said, no, we can't go up. We can't go up. And so all those other than Caleb and Joshua and Moses, they all died in the wilderness because of unbelief. All died. Fathers, there's a lot, there's a huge responsibility, there's a huge accountability upon our shoulders to stand true and faithful in our generation. True and faithful, standing tall and strong like Caleb. I understand from Joshua 14:10 that Caleb was 40 years old when he needed to take a stand. He says, the Lord kept me alive these 45 years. So we have 40 plus 45. Now Caleb was 85 years old. And that makes him 40 at the time. As I mentioned, God judged Israel and made all the children of Israel perish in the wilderness who were over 20 years old. Joshua and Caleb were the only two men that were the old ones in the congregation. The only two men. Because they wholly followed the Lord God. Caleb's devotion, his worship for God, made him strong. He stood against the unbelief of the camp of Israel. Fathers, wholly follow the Lord God all your life. The second main point, Christian fathers experience God's blessings. Caleb says, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. Caleb was blessed physically and spiritually. We are blessed. A lot of us have fathers that were Christians and were blessed. Having a genealogy behind us that we were taught in the ways of the Holy Word. We are blessed. In the new dispensation, God guarantees spiritual blessings when we choose God as the supreme ruler of our lives. God doesn't always guarantee physical blessings in this new dispensation. He says he'll meet our needs. Yes, he will, fathers. He'll meet our needs. I know times, I'm at 47 now, raising a family of eight, being ordained at a young age. Sometimes making a living was very difficult. More bills than money in a checkbook. More bills than money in a checkbook. And that's hard on fathers because we like to have enough. You know, we like to have at least a little bit of security, you know, to pay our bills. But I can testify that money was thin, bills were many. But God was faithful. He met our needs. He met our needs. Sometimes we had to get a bridge loan. A bridge loan. We don't like bridge loans, do we? It takes us from here to in the future sometime till we pay this. A bridge loan. Not a lot of fun going to bridge loans. But I had to. And so sometimes bridge loans are taken care of. And God is blessed. And it's better today than it was. But God will meet our needs. But he doesn't guarantee because you're a Christian, Father, that you're going to be wealthy. That you're going to even be comfortable. Now you might be hurting financially. But if your inner man is renewed day by day, someday your children, if they're Christians, are going to come and bless you. You're going to say, Dad, thank you for teaching me in the ways of God. That's such a blessing. I'm in that stage right now. My children rise up and they bless me. They'll bless you too if you're a young father here. Maybe you're an older father and can testify what I'm saying. They'll bless you. And so the hard road in our past, Father, was well worth it. Well worth it. Because the rising generation is grabbing hold of the Word of God, turning and blessing us. Because they too have found the way to Christ. God blesses Christian fathers who make a stand for God, the Bible, and the Church of Jesus Christ. Fathers, I'm not sure, I don't know your individual lives, what you struggle with here, Lakeview, and so on. But take a stand for God, the Bible, and the Church of Jesus Christ. Maybe I think the Church of Jesus Christ is, as it were, getting hit hard by individualism. And I'm concerned about that. What does the Church of Jesus Christ mean to you, Father, Mother? What does it mean to you? It should mean more than the world. Yes, more than the world. The church should mean to you more than the world. Do you love the church? Do you pour your energies into the church? I see here, you're having a summer Bible school. Wonderful. It takes a lot of energy, right? You'd rather maybe stay home. But you take the children night after night, night after night. Maybe you're planning and you're teaching those children. It's well worth the effort. Because you love the church. And you throw your energies and love into the church. The church will also throw, the other members of the church will throw their love into your life also. Such a blessing. I love the Church of Jesus Christ. And I believe you love the Church of Jesus Christ. We want our offspring that are following in our footprints. I want my sons and daughters to love the church. I want my grandchildren to love the church. It's the way, I believe, to heaven. It's the earthly body of Jesus Christ on earth. Very, very important. Love the church. Love the Bible. Love the Holy Spirit. Love the things of God. You'll be blessed, fathers. Do you want God's blessings? I like this verse. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. Proverbs 10:22. Do you want that blessing? I want that blessing. That God's going to bless me whatever way he chooses, probably spiritually. He'll bless me spiritually. And he's not going to give me any sorrow with it. No sorrow with it. He'll bless me and I'll have peace and happiness, fulfillment. Things of this world we sometimes get blessed with, yes, it lasts for a little. It soon evaporates, as it were. It soon passes away. The third main point I'd like to look at is, give me this mountain. Caleb utters these famous words, spiritual words, and visionary words. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. The Anakims were a race of fierce giants descended from Anak. Anak had three sons. Thus from these were the Anakims. These men were gigantic. They made the men of Israel feel like grasshoppers in comparisons. Anakims were gigantic. Anakims had cities that were great and fenced. Anakims lived in the mountain regions. Not only were they big and supermen, and they had these cities all fenced in, it was nestled up in the mountain. So physically speaking, it was almost impregnable. They were almost secure, whatever they wanted to do to hold that mountain, those cities. But it took a man, a humble man, a mighty man, from 40 to 85. He said, he looked at those, and I'm just giving you a picture, with his visionary ability, his gifts, his character, he looked at that mountain. He said, give me this mountain. I'm as strong at 40. I'm at 85 as I was at 40. Give me this mountain. I'm going to conquer these gigantic men. They're fortified cities. They're fenced cities. I'm going to conquer them. Give me this mountain, Joshua. Everyone needs to hold fast to God to be able to conquer those gigantic men and those, whatever it is, those spiritual mountains that we are facing. Caleb says at 85, he says, if so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord has said. Here we see his reliance on the Lord Jesus Christ, on God himself there. He says, if the Lord be with me at 85, I can conquer this mountain. Fathers, if the Lord be with us, then we will be able to drive out the giants out of them fortified cities, those mountain territories in our day. With God, we are well able. Conquer the mountain of impurity. First point under this. Conquer the mountain of impurity, fathers. Psalm 101, 2 and 3. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Conquer the mountain of impurity. Many a father, and sad to say, in the church, part of membership, have fallen into immorality. Conquer the passions of the flesh, father. Conquer. It's so very important to your wife, to your family, to your church, to your community. Conquer the mountain of impurity. A perfect heart produces godly behavior. A perfect heart produces godly desire for what is righteous, for the eyes to see. It happens far too often that someone looks at something forbidden. Pornography in literature, on the internet. It happens far too often. And I'm not saying this to brag at all, but I am blessed somehow with a godly father and teaching, and also maybe somewhat the era I lived in. I have never, ever looked at pornography. Never. Now, I'm blessed by that because I'm not scarred in those areas. I'm not scarred. And I hold it out to you young men this morning. Never, ever look at those pornography pictures. They'll scar you. They're going to do damage to you. You're going to face that for a lifetime. You'll have to fight it. Yes, can we repent? Sure, we can repent. But the scar in our minds is going to be lasting. Fathers, deal with the passion of your heart. There are lawful ways. God has given marriage to help for the passion of fathers. God has given lawful ways. Follow those lawful ways. And you'll find blessing. You'll find happiness. You'll find fulfillment in God's way. It is far better to never fall into wickedness. Sin produces scars. Sin damages marital relationships, family relationships, church relationships. I know of a man. I won't say his name, but you might know. He was a preacher for a short time in the church, Mennonite church. And he was found to be in very gross immorality. Today, he's in prison because he fell to the passion of the flesh. He was taken out of the ministry, no doubt, and out of the home. Now he sits in prison. His wife comes and visits him in prison. I know that young man. He's about my age. We all have that choice to make. Will I choose the path of passion and immorality? Will I conquer? Like Caleb says, give me this mountain of impurity. I'm going to crush it. It's an Anakim. It's a giant. We can crush it. We can crush it with God's power. Not my power, not your power, but Christ's power in us. We can crush it. Next mountain to conquer. Conquer the mountain of laziness. I wouldn't call any of you fathers here, even young men, lazy. I think our Mennonite culture has taught us to be diligent. Maybe so diligent that, you know, we should back off a little and give a little more time to our families and our wife and so on. We're so very diligent. You know, we're aggressive. And Mennonites generally are aggressive in their work ethic and so on. Largely, that's good. But let's remember there are still sometimes around fathers that are lazy. Maybe they're not lazy in their physical work and making money. Maybe they're lazy at home. They come home and I'm talking to myself because I see the older I get, the lazier I want to become. And thankfully, God has made it that. Most of the children are raised by the time we get too old. And I thank God for that. He knew that. Because I don't think it would work for me to be 85 and have a brand new son like Caleb. And Caleb said, I'm as strong as I was in 20. You know, 22, when my first child come, as strong then as now. I'm going to raise this son for God. Well, that's a great testimony, but God knows our weakness, and he knows we're made out of the dust of the earth. And so I'm glad God made it, that we have our children when we're young and stronger, and as we get older, weaker, maybe you'll call it lazier, we don't have quite the responsibility and accountability we do then. Conquer the mountain of laziness. Now, when our child, our son, our daughter needs discipline, fathers rise up and discipline. I know sometimes my wife has mentioned to me already, and I'm saying this as a confession. She says, I feel like I do all the child training. And I still told her recently, I said, you have somewhat true, but not all true, because I do grab a hold, you know, when I'm at home and so on sometimes. But I said, you're largely with the children all day, and I'm not there because I'm away at work. I don't have a farm where all my children are around me, and we do the farming all together. It'd be nice. I have the privilege of being part of a business. We have a wood shop, and my sons, when they come out of school, I have them work with me in the shop till they're 18. They're a little older. And each of my sons, you know, they kind of grape because they don't like the job dad has. And I said, well, son, I said, just wait till you're 18 and then you can go off. So the third son there, and recently he was a little blue, and I said, listen, I said, all the other boys did their time. I said, and I expect you to do yours too. And okay, I said, I want you to be happy too. And because he wasn't very happy there for a while. And so I have that privilege of being with my sons for a few years. But they can't wait till they're 18 and they're going to do what they enjoy, and that's fine. But why I made that rule is because in society there is so much filth. Working with ungodly men day after day. My dad talked about it in his day. His dad needed money and, you know, he put them out into the workforce, and the ungodly stories, the terrible language, and so on, my dad said, is in his mind. It's there for a lifetime. And so I hoped and I prayed and I aimed to have my sons be with me in a work environment that wouldn't have that. And God bless me with that blessing. But conquer laziness, fathers. It's easy to, as it were, shrug it off, deal with it some other time, whatever it is. But you know in your heart, I know in my heart, when action is needed. And don't spare the action, because if you spare the action, you know, long enough and it becomes bad enough, we'll be like Eli. Eli wouldn't restrain his sons. And what did he have? He had tremendously immoral sons working there in Israel. Father needs to keep the marital relationships working properly. He needs to keep the home, as it were, needs to keep the train on track. He needs to keep everything working smoothly. He's in charge. He needs to lead, command, teach. He needs to give the daily physical provision for the family. Yeah, work to provide for the food, clothing, and so on. But it requires action, diligence. It requires, yes, momentum and getting a hold of the work. Laziness isn't a part of a Christian father. Next mountain, conquer the mountain of unbelief. We know that it took all the children of Israel of age 20 and above to their death in the wilderness. The great sin was unbelief. And today it is. Again, we can say, does the Bible really mean what it says? Does the church really have the authority to tell me what to do? Does Father really have the authority to tell me what to do? And God has given each one of them responsibilities to give us direction. Yes, God has given direction to help us, to point us in direction. We can't choose for our son, for our daughter, the path of faith. No. They need to get a hold of it. I liken it to like a torch of faith. A torch. Back in the old days, they would, in the nighttime, they would have a torch. They would light this little torch and just be handheld. And they would go. And I understand runners would take this torch in the night. And they'd go to the next runner and give the torch. And the torch would go on and on until it would burn out. And then they would light another torch. And I see that. As I love the Word of God, and as I do like Caleb, wholly follow the Lord God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And my son, my daughter sees that. Sees the torch in father's hand, in dad's hand, holding it. And as the torch is bright, it illuminates the life of father. Yes, it enlightens his countenance. It fills his heart. His actions, his feet go in the right paths. His hands do the right things. And he's a witness of Christian life. And son says, I want what father has. I'll take that torch. I'll take that torch. The daughter says, I want to do what father does. I'll take that torch. The transmission, the transmitting of the faith from one generation to another generation is precious, but it's so very, very important. Because our time is so short. Those little ones sitting on the bench doesn't take very long at all. They're youth. They're married. They're having homes of their own. The gray hair comes on, you know, grandfather, and he's losing his steam. He's not quite what he used to be. It just happens so quickly, so very quickly. So work hard and be a conqueror of the mountain of unbelief, a man of faith. Caleb was a man of faith. Give me this mountain. You can be men of faith in your generation. Give me this mountain, whatever mountain you're facing. It may not be the mountain I talked about here in this message. You know and God knows, whatever mountain you're facing, There is power. There is strength through the spiritual help of God. And He'll give you that mountain. You'll be able to conquer that mountain. In daily action, we need to demonstrate to our children that vibrant faith. For faith to be laid hold on by the next generation, they will need to see a father practice it in real life. Father needs to act like a Christian at home, in the community, not just the church. I had a friend, and he had quite a few struggles in his Christian life. And he told me, he said, "Well, Dad," he said, "I can't stand it. I can hardly stand it. Dad gets up there to teach Sunday school in my church, in our church." And he said, "His life is not even close to what it should be. He's there teaching Sunday school," he said, "and talks so wonderful and all these things." And, he said, and he struggled and struggled. He pulled through by the help of God. But a lot of his brothers fell out by the wayside. There's a lot of damage, a lot of damage in that home because the father wasn't real. He was acting real at church, but in the community and in that home, he acted less than a Christian. We need to act like a real Christian wherever we go, 24/7, if you say, all the time. Conquer the mountain, the last mountain, or no, two more mountains I want to look at. Conquer the mountain of misplaced affection. Misplaced affection. We are able to set our affection on what we choose. We have that power. Scripture says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affection, yes, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So we can set our affection, what we feel, what our drive is. We can set that on someone, something, some worldly thing. We have that power. God has given us that. Father, you need to make the affection of your heart to be spiritual. The inner man, the things of God's word. Choose to place our affections on the spiritual things. I'll just say that just for that mountain. Affection makes a lot of difference. Our attitude, our desire. The next mountain, the last mountain, conquer the mountain of secret sins. By secret sins, I mean spiritual sins. Is there anger, yea, wrath in your spiritual being, in mine? Is there jealousy, envy toward others? Is there bitterness and malice and hate in the heart? God knows and you know. Sooner or later, conviction knocking at your heart. If those secret sins are in the heart. Why do I mention these secret sins? Because I believe some of those secret sins are what my friend talked about. He could hardly stand his dad teaching Sunday school. He must have had some of those sins. And what happens is this. Scripture talks about that the children's teeth are set on edge. Their teeth are set on edge. It's sour. It gives them a sour taste because of dad's secret sins that he enjoys. Get rid of those secret sins. It's a mountain. But God, again, will give us the strength to conquer that mountain if we choose. Give me this mountain wasn't uttered from a faint heart. We are able to conquer the mountain God has placed for us before us. God is with us. We will be victorious. The last point, Caleb possessed his inheritance. Caleb possessed his inheritance. Joshua said, "I'll give you that mountain. I'll give you this portion of land. I'll give you that, but you have to drive out the giants." Arba was a great man among the Anakims. He named his city Kirjath Arba. Caleb was a great man among the Israelites. He said, "Give me Kirjath Arba." And he conquered it, and he called it Hebron. Hebron and the surrounding area is rich in biblical history. Abram lived in the area of Hebron much of his life. At Hebron, the angels told Abraham to not kill. At Hebron, the angels told Abraham he would have that little baby, Isaac. Hebron was designated as one of the cities of refuge. King David ruled from Hebron the first 7 years of his reign. Hebron has a great biblical history for us. But that's because Caleb conquered in his day. Hebron was this history after that. I want to look here now at Joshua 15, 13 to 19. last scripture I'll turn to, coming to the end of this message. Joshua 15, 13 and 19. I'll take some points out of this. This is the posterity or the relatives of Caleb. Joshua 15, verses 13 to 19. And unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai and Ahiman and Talmai, the children of Anak. And he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir before was Kirjath Sefer. And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Aksa my daughter to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksa his daughter to wife. And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she laid off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, what wouldest thou? Who answered, give me a blessing. For thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. She says, father, says to Caleb, give me a blessing. I need water for this land you're giving me. I need water. Again, she was that conquering spirit. She wasn't hard to, it wasn't hard for her to lay out what she wanted. She says, father, give me that. And he gave her those springs, those blessings. But I see the line of faith through Caleb, through his daughter. Through his nephew, Othniel had the spirit of his uncle Caleb. He married Caleb's daughter Aksa. Aksa asked for these springs of water. Caleb, her father, grants her request. I see a posterity of godly people. Caleb, Aksa, Othniel. Again, fathers, do you want that? I know that you do. If you're spiritual men, you want a godly posterity to follow in your footprints. Fathers that conquer their mountains with God's help will have an inheritance. Psalm 16:5 says, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen to me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. That was verses 5 and 6 of Psalm 16. Heaven is the inheritance finally of God's people. Those enter heaven have wholly followed the Lord God. Fathers, this morning, it's upon our shoulders the responsibility, the accountability to set forth a path, to command our children after us, to teach them in ways of God, and also, never forget, to take care of that spiritual inner man of our own lives, because we can destroy a lot of the things we've ever taught by one moment of passion. So may God help us all to hold fast and hold fast to the spiritual things of God. Let's kneel for prayer.